The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should consider obtaining independent advice before making any financial decisions.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for StockIn. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Today we are catching up with Ian Bambra. Ian is Managing Director of the WA gold explorer Saturn Metals. Saturn trades under the code STN or Sierra Tango November. Its market cap is about $62 million, and that's at its last sale price of 71 cents a share. Now, Saturn only joined the stock exchange lists in March 2018 when it was spun off by Peel Mining. So Peel could concentrate on its New South Wales base metal interests. And so what has become the main asset of Saturn, the Apollo Hill Gold Project in WA, could get the attention it deserved. And one of those funny things in life, baby Saturn has outgrown the parent Peel in the market capitalisation stakes, thanks to gold price strength and Saturn's success in growing the resource base at Apollo Hill since. Apollo Hill is near Leonora, where it's surrounded by lots of multi-million ounce gold deposits like Gwalia, Wallaby and King of the Hills. Apollo itself currently has 780,000 ounces under its belt. With that, I'm going to say hello to Ian and welcome him to the podcast. G'day, Ian, and thanks for your time today.
How are you, Barry? Thanks for having us on. Pleasure to be here.
All right. Okay, and so before jumping in to take a look at Apollo Hill, it would be great if you could give us a bit of a rundown on your educational and professional background ahead of becoming MD of Saturn.
Yeah, I'm a geologist by background or trade, if you want, for a better word. And I guess born and bred and sort of brought up in Australia with Newmont Mining Corporation, as I spent most of my career. And eventually went to work for them in the States as well and had a look at some nice big gold systems and ore bodies around the world. After that, I headed up a company which I suppose most recently is known as Spectrum, but at the time was a company called Spectrum Rare Earths, and that was my first sort of foray after leaving the big company into, you know, the sort of mining stocks and things. And I also did a stint as exploration manager with Liontown Resources, who have done and are doing tremendously at this point. And then I joined in about September 2017. Somebody gave me a tap on the shoulder to come and have a look at Saturn and Apollo Hill and take it through IPO, and after having a good look at the asset, kind of couldn't help myself to get back to gold.
Right. Okay. Great. Now, if you could give us a snapshot of Apollo Hill's history up to the point of Saturn's listing, by which time I think the resource stood at around 540,000 ounces.
Yeah. There's quite a long history, but an intriguing one. I think the first hole was put into Apollo Hill in 1986 by Fimiston Mining. There's one very sort of shallow and limited old working and shaft on it from, you know, the 1920s kind of thing, but hadn't really gone anywhere. They must have found a high-grade vein or something that they've pulled out. Mm-hmm. But after Fimiston, there's probably about eight companies that had been in and had a go over a 30-year period. One of them was Barrick Homestake, that kind of era, but where the gold price was, you know, probably down around the $256 an ounce level. Yeah. They did some work. Battle Mountain in the 90s, late 90s, did a tremendous job on the deposit. And I think it's part of the history of this thing that you know, it's had a kind of stop-start exploration phase with commodity cycles, with the gold price particularly. But within that, those eight sort of companies that have held it, there's been some really nice intersections and discoveries. And I think one of the things Saturn's been able to do is pull them together. I think Battle Mountain eventually found Vera Nancy, the high-grade epithermal deposit in Queensland, and that took their attention. And then most recently, I suppose, a similar story was with Peel Mining. Peel took the Apollo Hill asset or assets out of Hampton Hill, who had a kind of iron ore focus. That was going to be their Peel Mining's key focus. And then they eventually moved to, or they made a great discovery with Mallee Bull in New South Wales. And Apollo Hill kind of missed its opportunity again. And it's that history, I think, that intrigues me. And I think in when you put all of that work together from the different companies, you could really see the opportunity that had been built up. And, and of course, we're in different times now with gold price and economics. And I think this deposit's going to have its day.
Right. Okay. So if you could take us through the growth of the resource since listing and the breakthrough of the Hanging Wall discovery in 2019. And obviously it would help us non-geologists to actually to get an understanding of just what the Hanging Wall means or is.
Yeah.
And in Apollo Hill's case, just what that means for the potential scale of the project.
Yeah, so when we listed in 2018, the deposit was 500,000 ounces, 0.9 grams a ton, so relatively unloved and arguably hard to market because you're below that sort of magical 1 gram number, or at least in everyone's minds, particularly then. We set about exploring, and I think in the first year, you know, basically the first year of exploration, we did about 10,000 meters. We focused very much on the main asset itself, improving the quality, remodeling it, infill drilling. And we brought the deposit to about 620,000 ounces, you know, in the space of probably 7-8 months of drilling, or 650,000 ounces. In that process, I think we also brought the indicated grade up to 1.1 grams and the deposit grade up to 1 gram, so we could see the thing improving. And, you know, it doesn't sound like much, but sort of 10-20% improvement on that previous resource upgrade on a big tonnage deposit offers, you know, a lot of ounce opportunity and really helps. So that gave us encouragement. We ploughed in the next year. And that year, maybe we did about 20,000 meters. And we did two things this time. One was obviously improving the deposit, drilling a little bit along strike and growing what we knew. We also took a step out into the Hanging Wall. And when we say the Hanging Wall, we mean sort of immediately east or up dip of the main lode and into an area that had perhaps been touched with a few sort of historic drill holes, but had never really had the focus. Now, there were a few clues in the sort of historic drill holes, but there were a long way between drinks, if you want a better term. And I think the first intersection we put in, our exploration manager, Catherine, was drilling under 4 meters at only half a gram in a historic air car hole. And the first hole came back at something like 36 meters at 1.3, but within it was a beautiful sort of 15 meter zone at 5.
Wow.
And I think that was the first sort of step change, because obviously there was an improvement in the grade, and that's come about as we've moved into that sort of Hanging Wall zone. We've moved into a more a dolerite rock rather than a basalt rock, and that dolerite rock has a different chemistry, and I think that chemistry is helping the gold to drop out. But it's also as much as that year progressed, and we did a lot of infill drilling, and those intersections started to repeat. I think by May we probably had 3 or 4, by, you know, July we probably had 5 or 6, and then by August, September that year, 2019, we'd seen the continuity in these new loads come together. And that was great, because it's not just about what they were in that they were better, it was where they were in that immediately adjacent to the main ore body. was basically very likely to fall into, you know, your likely pit shells or any economic cone that we do on the deposit. So what was previously waste material was becoming mineralized material.
Yeah.
And that was starting to push the stripping ratio down. And that was, you know, if you want, you've got a bit of double power there in that. One, the grade's getting better, and two, your strip's coming down. And plus the much bigger opportunity that was starting to emerge at Apollo Hill. So I've fast forward a few months, and I think we drilled right up to sort of Christmas, December 18th, I think it was, 2019. And we got a couple of interesting looking holes and turned up for work in January. And the first assay result that rolled in, something like 9 meters at 12 grams a ton, all at very reasonable sort of open pitable depths. And then that repeated again, right out on the hanging wall, probably 600 meters away from the, if you want, the footwall of the deposit, which essentially meant that we had a mineralized corridor there that was 600 meters wide, kind of variably mineralized within it. But again, we'd seen that step change in the grades, or the grade profile of the intersections we were turning up. And I think since that date, really, we've been more and more aggressive. And I've got to make the point that those intersections sit well outside the existing resource envelope.
Mm.
And offer a tremendous opportunity to, you know, or the potential to deliver a lot more ounces at our next planned resource upgrade for later this year. So we've been infill drilling around there. And then most recently, after our confidence has grown in that system, we've started to step out along strike to the south with some big, broad spaced sections and starting to see the same geology and opportunity present, and that's where we are today, I guess, in the sort of throes of that program.
Yeah, I see the ASX announcement on the 10th of July, 6 meters at 6.2, with 13 meters at 1.4, and 4 meters at 3.2. These were all hanging wall hits, so it goes to that, the growing size of the ore body.
Yeah, and it's, again, that grade's there, and these are the sort of first pass step out holes away from, you know, away from where we've been sort of historically drilling. So it's, yeah, the growth, I guess the grade, you know, the kind of 1.3 gram is better than a gram, was where the resource started, the 6 gram stuff, showing the potential for those sweeter loads within it. And I always like to make the point, you know, that these hanging wall loads are quite flat lying. I think, well, I'm 2 meters tall and you could probably mine something my size. So a 6 meter sort of intersection in an open pit, you know, a future open pit is tremendous. So,
yeah. Well, even at 1 gram a ton, I suppose a company like Regis has shown that you can make lots of money from, you know, big single open cuts, particularly at these gold prices.
That's right. Well, I mean, the way we're approaching this deposit is still very much a big open pit. I think, you know, if people go online and have a look at some of our presentations, the pretty much the last slide I have in the presentation is always an aerial shot of the deposit, and it gives you some size, the footprint of the drilling and the deposit itself. And I suppose the advantage we have is that our ounces are all in one single simple spot or position. And what that could offer is, you know, you sort of mentioned the 1 gram thing. We big selective mining units, the potential to support a big mill and lower that unit operating cost down. And all that's helped by a very simple metallurgy and mineralogy at Apollo Hill, where much like the Regis story, you know, I think one of the reasons their deposit works so well is sort of free milling, low cyanidation, gravity kind of focused gold. which is what we see at Apollo Hill. So again, that's another sort of positive cost factor that's helping with the deposit here and yep. offers some scalability as well.
Okay. We're talking about the grade, but just to cover off on that, I know early on the company was talking about potential for ore beneficiation. Is that still a consideration? Do you, given these higher grades are coming through, you might not need to, or what's the thoughts there?
It is. I mean, I think the current thinking is there's definitely the potential in that every time we see a gold, it's in white quartz veins in a sort of green grey basalt. So it's very easy to visually sort. To sort ore sorting at a large scale, I think, is probably unproven at this point. But there certainly is where we see those high-grade loads or opportunities, the potential to use ore sorting to help strip the tons back and yeah, that, you know, that has potential to, I suppose, flow through to decrease capital costs and things like that. Or you have a big mill and you have a bolt-on circuit for your higher grade stuff that you treat, you know, just to sort of it'll be a bonus, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now you're well into a 20,000 meter program, drilling program?
Yeah, we are.
What stage are you at? Halfway, quarter of the way?
We're probably a quarter of the way through drilling and probably an eighth of the way through announcing results. Right. So, and to that end, we have another rig that started. So, you know, I think last month we were sort of one rig going. Now we've got two rigs going and we're looking for that third rig to ramp things up further again in the coming month in sort of August, September. So that kind of shows, I suppose, shows the confidence as well. But, it's good.
So, and that will lead into a resource upgrade towards the end of the year. That's the plan?
That's the plan, yep. Mm-hmm. So, subject to that, the correct drilling rigs turning up at the correct time and that kind of thing. But, that's it. I think we've always delivered a resource upgrade every year, kind of October, November, because it gives us a measure of our progress. We've drilled at least, that's a good way to put it. I think the last resource upgrade we did, we drilled about 28,000 metres total. Since that point, we've drilled 24,000 metres and we've just embarked on this sort of 20,000 metre program. So,
right.
And it's about getting that done as quickly and efficiently as possible. And that could give you a measure of, now with that 28,000 metres, we did add 276,000 ounces.
Okay. Now, I know we have to be careful about these things and I don't want to put you on a spot, but I remember quoting you, wouldn't have been long after the float, that you thought the potential here was probably 2 million ounces plus. You still hold that view?
I do. And I'm going to put it with a couple of
caveats,
caveats, yeah. So I think the potential for a 2 million ounce deposit, and it's not a resource yet. There's a lot of hard work and drilling to do within the top 250 meters from surface in one single spot, Apollo Hill, I think is very real. And obviously we've got to do a lot of drilling, a lot of studies and, you know, the next couple of years to achieve that. But I can point to the fact that, and we've published this, that the company's performance incentives, and not just for directors, this was for my entire staff. Mm-hmm. I think the goal we set ourselves for end of November 2020 was to try and hit 1 million ounces. This is published in our general meeting. The stretch goal we've published for 2021 is 1.5 million ounces. Now, we've put those targets out in front of us, and we're going after them. And I guess that's all I can do.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Yeah.
The company's entering a tricky space, given the looming resource upgrade. When, you know, we start thinking about standalone developments or arrangements, toll treating arrangements with other mills in the broader region. But having said all that, the intent at this stage is obviously to push ahead on a standalone basis. And if someone comes in with a takeover bid, well, you deal with it at the time. But very much a standalone approach at the moment.
It is, because I think Apollo Hill really starts to work when you push the size up. You see the opportunity for that bigger mill. The bigger mill offers the lower processing costs, the lower unit costs. A bigger selective mining unit means probably a lower stripping ratio. And if we start looking at toll treatment opportunities, even if they might be there in smaller loads, I think eventually that'll be robbing from Peter to Paul. And it's also the cream. I think Apollo Hill sort of at a historic grade of a gram. The interesting thing is when you look at the grades in the hanging wall, when we take the average grade of all intersections we've published above half a gram, cut off, the grade's probably more like 1.3 grams. Mm. So you put those two kind of halves of the deposit together, or eventual halves, as after one's been drilled out properly, you know, we might be looking at a very big deposit with about 1.1 grams, arguably, let's say. Mm-hmm. Now, that also gives you the opportunity then to, if we get this thing to about 1.1 grams, we can push the lower cutoff grade down, still keep the deposit at a gram, but we'll bring in even more ounces, push the stripping ratio down again. So there's a number of levers there that we can play, but they're all pulling towards a big operation. And I think, again, it's the simplicity of Apollo Hill is it's only one spot. And, you know, in terms of perhaps another sort of advantage we've got strategically in the region is we do have a base load of ounces. And I think and those ounces at the grade they are not really going to go anywhere. I'd like to see Apollo Hill as the centre of gravity in that particular part of the belt.
Yeah, okay. Now, we are running out of time, unfortunately, so I'll just quickly say that you've got a huge ground position in one of the best addresses in the country for gold. Obviously, that will get attention as time goes by. But I just wanted to jump across to New South Wales, West Wyalong, historic old gold field, more than an ounce a tonne, if you don't mind. What's the plan there?
Yeah, that was a... I have to thank our joint venture partners there for A, digging through the historic mines records in New South Wales and the trove information and finding that thing. Peter Goldner, Angus Collins, and did a tremendous job, I think, you know, finding that sort of historic information. He did produce probably about 15, 16 years at an ounce a tonne, and I think its best year, 1911, it produced at about 3 ounces a tonne. Wow. So it is very sweet. The plan is basically we've modelled up the old workings in 3D. We've pulled out historic face sampling data. We've modelled that up. We've had a look at where we can see the deposits at its thickest, at the best grade, at the plunges, where the mineralisation is plunging. And we've designed a number of holes to go and test the concept. As soon as we can get that drill program going, there is a community consultation phase, which we have to go through properly first. It is close to the town of West Wyalong. Mm-hmm. And before we've done that and assessed that, you know, we can't do anything. We definitely need community buy-in and understanding. Not impossible. Having spent some time working in the beautiful mine at Waihi in New Zealand on the Coromandel Peninsula, right, and seeing the successful job they've done there. And then, yeah, you know, your first drill program, which could be later this year, will be a number of RC pre-collar and diamond hole tails on those trends. I think it'll be quite a binary outcome. And if it's a one on the zero, I think it's going to be a really good one. So, yeah.
All right. Well, there we go. A nice mix of the bulk tonnage opportunity over at Apollo Hill and a high-grade opportunity in New South Wales. So we'll all watch with interest in the coming months, Ian. So with that, I'm going to say thanks for your time today and best wishes with it all.
I appreciate it, Barry. Thank you very much for your time. Cheers.